Russia's state-owned gas company warns it will restrict gas flows again, but this time there's a twist. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Russian gas supplies through a vital pipeline will be temporarily halted for 8 days starting on Thursday. The reason? Planned maintenance work. If that sounds familiar, it's because those are the same reasons Russia gave in late August when it suspended vital gas flows through the Nord Stream 1 pipeline to continental Europe. Those flows still remain at zero. This latest maintenance work, though, is on a different pipeline, one called the Power of Siberia, which sends supplies to China, a country Russia's president has sought to more closely align with as the war in Ukraine continues. The BBC's Howard Chang explains how significant the gas pipeline is for China.
Just the negotiation to build this pipeline took decades. And this pipeline, it's over 5,000 kilometers, or 3,000 miles long. So it's one of the longest pipelines in the world. For China, they're hoping this pipeline will be able to supply most of its northern part of the country, and it's part of the clean energy solution, so they can move away from coal. So for China, it's a quite important strategic pipeline.
Gazprom today said that this maintenance work is planned and it happens twice a year. That's what we've heard with the disruptions to the Nord Stream pipeline to Europe as well. But is there any worry inside China, perhaps, that what happened to Europe could also happen to Beijing?
At this moment, there are always voices within the Chinese side saying, you know, you need to diversify just in case something happens. But at this particular moment, we don't really have any reason to believe, because both Russia and China are facing what they consider as the U.S. threat. So because of that, there's no reason to believe the two sides are not, you know, at least partner up together trying to fend off external threats.
And has China responded at all or made any statement with regard to Gazprom's statement that it will suspend flows temporarily?
So far, from all the Chinese media reports, they just carried exactly what Gazprom said on Telegram. It's a routine maintenance, and they're hoping that in the next few years, full capacity will be reached and more gas will flow into China.
The BBC's Howard Chang for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, all eyes are on global central banks this week. Here in Europe, stock benchmarks are down in the 0.4% to 0.6% range at this hour. London's FTSE is little changed. Investors are awaiting the Fed's interest rate decision tomorrow. They're expecting a 0.75 percentage point rise. The Bank of England is on deck Thursday, and investors are split about whether a 0.5 or 0.75 percentage point rise in rates is on the cards here to tackle inflation that's stubbornly holding near a 40-year high. To Indonesia now, where a new law on personal data protection passed on Tuesday. Now individuals face 5 years of jail time if they're found to have gathered personal data illegally. Businesses could see 2% of their annual revenues confiscated. The BBC's Valdia Baraputri has more from Jakarta.
The Indonesian personal data protection law has had a long journey since its drafting in 2014, and at the beginning of the year, it had made little progress. But then came a series of hacks that resulted in the leaking and sale of the personal data of at least 1.3 billion Indonesians. The hacker, known as Bjorka, also claimed to have compromised the Indonesian intelligence agency, had acquired confidential letters and documents from President Jokowi, and hacked several high-ranking Indonesian government officials, including the communication minister. Indonesia has set up a special unit to hunt down the hacker, but to date has had little success.
That's the BBC's Valdia Baraputri reporting from the Indonesian capital there. The European Commission's competition watchdog Margarita Vestager has had a big tech in her crosshairs for years. She's been on a mission to make competition in the industry fairer using record fines to show she means business. In court, Ms. Vestager has lost two high-profile cases against Qualcomm and Intel, but last week she got a win when a top European court ruled Google broke competition rules and fined the search giant a record $3.8 billion. Ms. Vestager told me what that could mean for the future of competition across the industry.
In general, this is a big positive push for what we're doing in the tech sector. I would hope that at long last it sort of sinks in, that we have the ambition to rein in market power, to allow the market to be fair, open, that there is a competitive drive for innovation that every consumer can enjoy, that message ought to have sunk in quite some time ago, because this has been, you know, a priority discussion, not only in Europe, but actually across the globe.
The Digital Markets and the Digital Services Act in July, the European Parliament passed those new set of rules regulating this industry, but there's still another about a year to go before they're actually applied. What happens in this interim period then?
The Digital Markets Act will come into effect by mid-October, and then it's applicable by next spring, mid-April. And by early 2024, those with real market power, they will have to comply. And that, at least for our legal system, that's actually record speed.
So what does it mean exactly for those who are not familiar with these new rules?
Our starting point is quite straightforward. With great power comes great responsibility. If you fulfill a number of objective criteria, that sort of shows that you have this real market power, that you can decide who's in the market, who's not, which is why we called it a gatekeeper. There's a number of things that you cannot do anymore, and there's a number of things that you must do. For instance, you must allow for a second app store within your operating system. You must give people their own data in order for them to use those data to compete against you, just to give you two obvious examples. And one of the things that you cannot do is that you cannot promote yourself, which was the subject of the first Google case.
And we're talking to you now as you're on a trip to the U.S. And at the beginning of this month, the EU opened a new office there in San Francisco. Do you think with that there's hope that a physical presence will sort of keep this new era of regulation at the forefront in a place where the approach to regulation is quite different than that in Europe?
Yes, for us, this is a priority. Still, you know, we have open doors in Brussels. So, you know, it's a system. And at the same time, we liaise with colleagues all over the planet, here in the US, in Canada, Japan, who are on the same mission. And that, I think, is a very important part of the message to gatekeepers, to those who are really, really powerful, that it's a planetary effort, actually, to make sure that we have fairness and competition.
We will have much more tomorrow with Margrethe Vestager. She's Europe's Competition Commissioner. We'll dive into whether more investment in new technologies could help ease the region's energy supply crisis, which has been exacerbated by Russia's war in Ukraine. For now in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.